Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool take on Ajax in the Amsterdam Arena on Wednesday, and we won't be there for dream away for every Scouser is Ajax, and for the first time it finally happens and we can't go. We will be here in the studio doing a fan zone commentary for it, of course, but it's not the same.
Chris Bates, we can make it similar.
Yeah, oh yeah, let's get blitzed and watch the match. Yes, Chris Bates will be Ross Chadley's with me as well. Chris, Champions League, it's back.
Apparently.
And
I'm not mentally prepared for the Champions League being back this week, if I'm honest.
No, I mean, it's true all over though, isn't it? About, like, you know, the big games and all that kind of stuff. Like, I was quite excited for the Everton game as a televised football spectacle, and I think that's all this is really. I'm kind of, it goes both ways. Getting the toughest game out the way is a good thing in some regards, because it means, you know, the group is nicely poised regardless of the results. If you go and get 3 points, then you get, and you've got your toughest game out of the way, then that's great. That's a really strong foot forward. If it doesn't, it's okay, because again, you haven't got as many tough fixtures lined up. But yeah, for me, it is just that. It's getting into the mindset of, oh, well, you know, disappointment from the derby at the weekend, but at least it's a nice, good game of football to look forward to.
No, and it should be. And I think there'll be a lot of people that disagree with you about it being the toughest game. I think Atalanta have got a shout in there as well. I think on paper, the players and all that type of stuff, Ajax certainly, and obviously they were in pot two as well, weren't they? But you're absolutely right. I think it's a huge game of football, you know, and after two disappointing results, both in completely different ways, Liverpool were looking to strike back, won't they? And really go out there and put a performance in. Now, for me, the spectacle of football, the landscape's changed massively, because it's just not the same game watching it on the telly for me every single week. Like, I made my peace with watching half the away games, or maybe more than half the away games, on a TV, but it doesn't feel the same this season. It doesn't feel as important as last season.
No, that's right.
You know, going the games and all that type of stuff, and I don't know, man. It's just, it's not the same game we're watching. I'm real down about it all at the moment.
I think the problem is, of course, is the country's fucked, which doesn't help. And the fact that two back-to-back disappointments, regardless of the performances, because it's night and day, Villa and Everton. Liverpool, miles the better team, and actually probably deserve to win the derby. This is what I kind of, my general feeling on this, Ross, we could really do with, because of all those things kind of lumped in together, we could really do with a win here, just to lift the spirits, because we certainly weren't feeling that way after Arsenal. After the Arsenal game, we were sat back revelling in how brilliant this team was.
Winning Tierney either.
Yeah, well, exactly all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that's in it. It's a factor. Because it's only on the telly, we haven't got the same level of release, so we probably need the results more than we maybe we ever have done.
I think it's certainly softened the blow of not being able to be there.
you know, it's a mad world where you'd rather be in a place where you got more chance of getting chlamydia than COVID-19 and, you know, going to Amsterdam. Like, I don't know what I'd say that. I mean, fucking like, but, you know, I'd rather be there at the minute, but I can't. It's home, I think, doesn't it? You know, I've not had a chance to actually mentally think about Champions League football and stuff, but you think of all those the ways that you can go and do it. It's not just one day, it's like it's a couple of days away with, you know, the atmosphere and all the stuff and the culture that we picked up from these places and the songs and the memories and all that stuff.
Boss Night Amsterdam would have been the greatest thing in the history of the world.
I'm not having that, and obviously there's more pressing things in the world going on, but it's, you know, you can separate the two, so you still want to be there, you still want to go, you can still miss these things. And welcome back Champions League football. Maybe it'd be a nice welcome break from the Premier League, to be honest with you, and playing someone that you kind of not used to. We've never played them before in competitive football. I don't think about for a long time anyway.
Yeah, 66 is the last time we played them in competitive football. It's
I remember it well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, but that's I think this is the thing, isn't it? You can't look forward to football in the same way. You can't. I mean, we were having this conversation the other day, like I'm closest I've ever been to like just going to watch some non-league footy or going to find some footy to watch somehow, because I'm missing the adrenaline rush. I'm not the kind of person who goes out thrill seeker. I enjoy. I like my life. I like my job. I like my bits and pieces. I get what I need from life generally. But I've come to realise that without having that let off, without being able to go and scream and sing and share that, there's a big hole in my life. But the closer you get to filling it is with good footy. At least you've got no choice but to watch it televised. So the good thing is, the big positive is, Liverpool, Ajax, a team we haven't played, as I say, competitively since 66, a team with great heritage, great history in the Champions League, that has at least carried something. It's not what necessarily we need to fix us, but at least it's better than us having some fucking better than Burnley.
I'd much rather this than the Capital One Cup or whatever that competition's called now. And the level of disrespect
doesn't
to that competition
anymore.
Is ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, no one remembers the name of it. You're absolutely right. And again, we're coming up against some good players and a historically great side. One that, you know, I've always wanted Liverpool to play Ajax. Of course you do. Of course you want to go over there and soak it up and all that type of stuff. So yes, Liverpool have got a lot of things to turn around and change, and you know, we're coping with a lot of things, and hopefully we'll be able to put some of that right at midweek against Ajax.
Yeah, I think there's perception with Ajax as well, which I'm sure you'll come on to, if they're not the side that Spurs played, you know, two seasons ago. You know, they've lost, you know, what, four or five maybe major players that were in that tournament. I'm not dismissing them completely, saying they're a crap side, but you know, you think of like De Ligt, Donny van de Beek, Ziyech, the guy who went to Barcelona, De Jong is gone as well. So, you know, there's big chunks of that team's been taken apart from the campaign that they had against Spurs.
The Ajax one is always cyclical, isn't it? You know, you reach a peak of what you can before the team gets picked apart, and they go again. They're refreshing, they bring a whole new load of stuff in. Those is interesting. I always find it fascinating to go and look at like kind of who you recognise from variety of teams. Klaas-Jans Huntelaar is still there. He's 37 years old, which I don't want to be like 37, because we're literally 37 years old. That's right. I mean I'll be, it's fine, I won't do the joke, Chris, I'll leave you.
It's fine.
38 this year.
I'm not 37.
Yeah, he's not.
I was looking at Chris. Back in your fucking hole, fucking child. Klaas-Jans Huntelaar's mad. I'm amazed that he's still going. I've got a sneaky feeling, a horrible feeling that it's like he's got 90th minute goal written all over him. But well, they've got a few. They've got Davy Klaassen, former Everton goalkeeper Martin Stekelenburg, will be on the bench for them. Daley Blint plays centre half for them as well. Of course, we know from his time at Manchester United. It's
Tadic as well.
Yeah, Dusan Tadic has been amazing for them. No, it comes down to it. I like the challenge. I like to know. I just love the Champions League because you feel like you'd expand your football and knowledge and your football and horizons by watching this, seeing a different style of play, seeing a team that are going to be very hungry to come and give Liverpool a big bloody nose. They're playing in their own yard, although we know that means something different these days with no fans. But
you know kind of what you're going to expect from Ajax, whether you know the team or you don't know the team. They're going to play away. They've got a style of football that's so deeply ingrained in that side that you know, we're not coming up against the park the bus side here. We're gonna see an expansive game of footy, which should lend itself to being a really good game of footy. Again, you know, two sides that I was having a look at some of Ajax's previous results and watched a bit of the highlights before today's show and stuff. You know, they've played 4-2-3-1 at times this season. They've played 4-3-3. I imagine they're very similar to us in that those things probably look very similar to one another.
Yeah.
You know, they've had good results at the weekend. They come off a 5-1 victory, but previous to that, they got beaten 1-0 by Groningen, I think it was, and I watched the highlights of that game and the goal that they conceded, and it was a really poor defensive, you know, play from Ajax. You know, it was really easy for Groningen to get in there and score early on. So similarities in what's going on there with what Liverpool are doing at the moment. You know, a bit easy to score on, but can still score goals and stuff.
It'd be interesting to see how teams cope in the Champions League. You know, we've seen some mad results in the Premier League, and you know, you just touched on two results for Ajax there. Will it hit home to those players for both sides of playing in Europe? And the part of the reason that they like it is because they get to go to these stadiums, they get to go to these cities and towns and, you know, play in front of thousands of people.
It's probably a welcome refresh, isn't it? Because I'm looking at it now, and I'll be honest, you know, we spend that much time. It sounds stupid when you say it out loud now, given the climate, but I'd got a bit fatigued with travel. We've done a lot of travel in the last few years. It takes you away from home quite a lot, and it does start to take a bit of a toll on you. But I just look at it now, I'm like, there's part of me that's like, I could just go and jump on a flight. You know what I mean? Just to change your surroundings would feel amazing. I wonder whether there's a refresh aspect to, I mean, I know they've just come back from international duty, some of them, so they've had a little bit of this, but I just wonder whether there is something to that of just going to travel, going to a different country, albeit you're still under, you know, under restrictions, you're still being bubbled and what have you. It probably helps with the mental, you know, the mental side of things for these Liverpool players, just to change the scenery.
What would you think, like a year ago, if I'd have said the sentence, you're still being bubbled? What would you think we'd have thought that meant?
Yeah. It's definitely alcohol related, isn't it? Like, you're just going to go out and get properly.
He's
bubbled.
On the Prosecco, him, lad. He's on the Prosecco.
Oh, I got a bit bubbled on there Saturday night, actually. Yeah.
Now, like, yeah, fucking, you're right, man. Fucking, right. Hey, bubble shit's terrible, lad.
Yeah,
that stuff might be good for them. And I also think it might be advantage to the wayside, if, you know, you both go, when you go to these places in Europe, how intense and the atmosphere can be horrific. You know, like Belgrade was a bad one that you guys went to. Napoli, similar for us last year, was horrible, and it does affect the way that these teams play.
Mm-hmm.
So Liverpool going to Ajax, one of the biggest stadiums in Europe, probably.
Is a point, and I think it's a good point, Ross, is that the games Liverpool have struggled in most have been in those hostile environments. Sure. And it's true, because we can't say that Anfield has this massive impact on these teams coming. All these teams come and shit the bed in the face of the Anfield atmosphere, from, you know, Chelsea to City to Barcelona, and then have it not necessarily work the other way. You know,
I didn't want a pandemic to prove it, though.
No, God, no. But what I'm saying, it's a point it's a positive point potentially for Liverpool, is that not having that, you've got all the motivation because you're playing against a big team in Ajax. Yeah. You know, you're playing against. It's an exciting game. Again, you have all the preparation there is very similar to what you would normally do with the Champions League. So it'll probably feel like a Champions League game to the team. They'll have similar commitments, you know, and all the brand and all that. It'll spark all those feelings, but they don't have to go into a ground where you've got 50,000 people baying for your blood, which is, again, has been proven a sticky point for us at times. I mean, I know we win
Ajax
in Rome.
Wouldn't have been one of them, though.
Reckon?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's one of those games where their fan base is amazing. I wouldn't have thought about PSG, but it was. The atmosphere was fucking was mega in that one. I mean, I expected it in Rome. You know, we suffered in there. We suffered in Belgrade. We handled the game really well until we didn't in the new camp. Same sort of things. It's not necessarily that it's like an angry thing, but when you've got. You just gotta fucking.
Can still be intimidating without angry. And from the flip side of that, it'll be the same for the teams that come to Anfield. You know, they're probably made up that, you know, the history of Liverpool and these famous European nights. They'll be gutted that they're not going to be part of it in one way, but it might benefit them in the game.
It's a good job of boss, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's disappointments with regards to injury news, which we'll talk about in a moment. We're going to take a very, very short break. We've got a question for you to tide you over till then. Who was the last Liverpool player to score against Ajax? We'll have an answer for you after this short break. The second Redmen TV book, Champions of Everything, is available for sale right now. It comes in two editions, the standard edition and the special edition, which comes signed with a custom message of your choice and with a limited edition Redmen TV sticker pack as well. The book is huge. It is A4 size and it is chock full of insight. Photographs from around the world following the mighty Reds, who were reigning European champions, who won the Super Cup, who became champions of the world, and then capped it all off with a 19th league title, becoming champions of England. The book looks at the highs, lows, absolute insanity and bitterness of rival fans, and some of the craziness from our own fan base as well along the way. It is available now on the Redmen TV store. Get involved.
I'm sorry.
Yes, welcome back. Yeah, if you want to get our brand new book, Champions of Everything, you can do. It's amazing. It's available. There are very limited quantities of the signed special edition available where you get the sticker pack. So if you want to get one of them, I'd jump on it now because the first load sold out. It's very difficult for us to get hold of more physical ones to have that. So yeah, if you're going to do it, you want to box someone off for Christmas, then I would highly advise that, yeah, you jump on that in the next day, really, just to make sure that you've got one and you don't miss out. Right, yes, the last person to score for Liverpool against Ajax was all the way back in 2001. It was in the Amsterdam tournament. We played them 2 years later, actually.
So I was thinking it was the 60s,
yeah,
so was
that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I googled it.
We lost 3-1 to Ajax, and the Liverpool goal was scored by...
Heskey.
Nope. Owen.
Robbie Fowler. If you got that, congratulations. Give the video a like, you deserve it. I'd forgotten all about those games. But there was a little spell because we played them twice in 3 years or whatever. We played them in 2003 in the same tournament and drew 0-0. So that wasn't doing us any favours in terms of a quiz question. So yeah, Robbie Fowler, 37 minutes. Let's get back into it. There's obviously disappointments around Liverpool's world. Virgil van Dijk will not be available for the rest of the season. Thiago Alcantara is probably a bit of a doubt for this one, given he had to go for a scan at the weekend. The slight concern that reared its head as we were recording the final word, Chris, was one over Matip, that he'd been seen going for a scan. The Echo have subsequently said that that was from Saturday. Is that right, Ross?
Yeah.
It's probably not as pressing as all that, but it doesn't help. We're gonna have this for the foreseeable future of clenching, crossing our fingers and toes that Joel Matip and Joe Gomez stay fit.
Yeah, and even if he's gone for a scan, something's wrong. You know, whether he feels it or not, and with a season that you're probably now planning for without Virgil van Dijk, certainly a few months with just the three centre-halves that we've got available, being Gomez, being Matip, and probably Fabinho as the senior players, then you're probably protecting Joel Matip in this fixture anyway. Mm-hmm. So for me, that you know, you're already down to your bare bones of Joe Gomez and Fabinho at centre-half in this game, because, look, as much as I want us to do well in the Champions League and I want us to win that competition, of course, at this stage, I don't think it's as pressing as the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I think the Premier League's more pressing for us right now. You can get away with a few drab draws in the Champions League group stages. As long as you win your home games, you're in a good position, aren't you? Yeah. So for me right now, with the injuries that we've got, with Thiago, question marks over him, with Joel Matip, I'm probably already protecting Joel Matip because I'm worried about what happens if he aggravates it further, shall we say.
The interesting question in this becomes, where do you go with? And I think you're right. But I think in terms of the level of importance, because to get that first win under your belt in the Champions League, I think it gives you breathing room. You earn breathing room down the line a little bit. It does. That takes the pressure off, so you can, if you do have a disappointing result, making sure you got points. Whereas if you're, because who knows, because you might have another major injury crisis between, and all of a sudden you're really struggling to put players out on the pitch. And I wonder whether Fabinho, it will just be Fabinho Gomez in this one, and rather than a consideration for a Reece Williams or a consideration for, I don't even know where Kometio's at this point, but, you know, anyone other than that. And then you see what you've got with eyes to Sheffield United afterwards.
Yeah, I think the ideal situation in the Champions League group is you win four games and you're done. And you can essentially take two games off. I think Chris is right. The context of where we're at is really hard. The concern going into this was, we've got two injury-prone defenders you know, into the season, sorry, you know, what do we do? And the guy who never gets injured is fucking injured. So now you panic. I think it's sensible to go down the route of protecting Joel Matip because, you know, you could end up playing Sheffield United and they could kick him to death, you know, do you know what I mean? Because they're an aggressive side and he could get injured. But don't risk him if you don't need to. You know, we still got, you have to remember, for all the fear-mongering of Van Dijk being injured, having Fabinho and Gomez at centre-half is still a very good pairing at centre-half. It's not fresh, it's not new. Yeah. And they're still experienced enough and we still got an abundance of midfielders to play in that game. Mm-hmm. We're not selling ourselves short. Okay, Fabinho, you prefer him at centre-mid. But you know, the guys we got in midfield aren't crap.
No,
so you're fine with that. So I think Chris is right. I think you've got to make do with what you've got for this one and then reassess it for Saturday.
To your point though, Chris, the Premier League is, look, it's very early. There's loads of games to come. So it's nothing's decided at this point. But you realise that because of those drop points so far, the Sheffield United game is important. It is important that Liverpool get back up and running in the Premier League. It is important to get those 3 points because, like, Man City, I've still got to play that game in hand or whatever. Yeah, but any points that they've dropped, we've matched. Mm-hmm. Now, so it's going to be a position where any early advantage in the league against the Man City has gone out the window. I mean, obviously, we all know that it's going to be Aston Villa who go unbeaten all season now and win the league because that's the way it's all kind of panning out. But, I don't think there's Ajax are probably a better team, maybe. Yeah, I think that's fair to say, isn't it? You know, but they weren't quite Dutch champions, but you take my point on that. But I don't think there's a preferential game. This is it's a weird struggle. In normal circumstances, you would probably slightly err on the side of stronger side against Ajax, and then maybe you rest and rotate a little bit more for Sheffield United. But I don't know that we can do that this time.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Klopp generally plays a lot of, you know, fringe players in the early part of the Champions League, from my memory. So I think that he does try and sort of preference the Premier League at this early stage. I think it's made slightly different and skewed maybe because it's Ajax, yeah. You know what I mean? And they are who they
it
are.
It depends rather how he considers than anything them, really, else.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we've seen Klopp, you know, not take Premier League games seriously or not take the derby seriously in some people's eyes with this team selection. I think he does probably look more at the individual team and then make a decision. I think he knows he's in for a tough slog against Sheffield United regardless. You know, they might not be technically as gifted as Ajax, but, you know, they're going to apply themselves to 110%, and I think that's probably work rate-wise he'll need his full centre side for that. I think, you know, for Liverpool as well, it's a very... Because of the Van Dijk injury, for me anyway, it's you get beat against Ajax and it's all because of Virgil van Dijk, right? So it doesn't matter whether you lose against Sheffield United or you lose against Ajax. People are going to think you've got a soft underbelly without mm-hmm. Virgil van Dijk. I think personally, you know, I'd preference the Premier League game just because it gives... More because it gives Matip more time to recover mm-hmm. than anything else. If you've switched the games round and Ajax was the weekend, I'd be telling you the Ajax game. Because it's about protecting Joel Matip rather than this game's more important than that game, you know yeah. what I mean?
Oh, and you're right. I don't think, whilst you've got Fabinho there, I don't think there's a single chance that we take any risk. We just won't. Klopp doesn't do that. He doesn't force. He'll force people to play through pain, but he won't force them to play through injury. You know what I mean? Like proper injury or something that's going to cause you to be out for a spell of games. It is just that thing of it's more, in a wider sense. I wonder how we judge Ajax, and we can't know until we see what the team lines up with, because you're right, you know, we'll play Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain centre-forward against Genk at home. We'll put an experimental midfield out against Genk away, but when PSG come to town, you play your first team. When Napoli come to town, you play your first team. And I wonder, we can't know quite how he's going to judge that until we see a little bit of it.
But we do know, as I sort of said, he knows Sheffield United are a good side.
Yeah.
And we know that he thinks they're a good side as well, because we've seen them give us a tough game. He's talked about them.
And I suppose it's what's our level of, what do we mean by all this? Because, like, as an example, well, Thiago, I can't imagine he would risk Thiago again in this game if he's just had a scan. But again, it shouldn't matter, because we'll just bring Wijnaldum in. Wijnaldum's class. If you have to bring James Milner in, oh gutted, you've just brought James Milner in. If you have to bring Curtis Jones in, I don't think any of us, I think our notion of actually a weakened side, it's only when we maybe see Jota start instead of one of the front three, or Minamino starting for us, we'll call that the second team. But you might find the midfield stronger in that game. So you might find, like, Sheffield United, Jota or Minamino start, so it looks like it, but then it's Thiago Henderson for Fabinho, and then, oh, hang on a second, we've got Billy Cometio and Gomez at centre-half. We're entering the period of the season where we're probably not going to play our strongest 11 almost in any game. Yeah.
You go for 75% or 80% first team in every game rather than 100% and 50%.
Yeah, but to be honest, my concern is not this game. My concern is the bigger picture, which I know we're going to cover on the podcast of, you know, I joked before about the two injury-prone defenders, whether, you know, the recent injuries weren't necessarily their fault. I think people forget that. But also, you know, you've got one game without Van Dijk and you're potentially missing Joel Matip for the next game. Like, how do you carry on with that? And my concern is bigger, you know, for the next period of games. I know there's an international break in November, but still, Joel Matip being injured already, potentially, is not a good sign for Liverpool.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, it would be a second injury of the season. Wouldn't be a particularly encouraging thing at all. But again, we can't... I said to you, obviously, that there was that video doing the rounds, which apparently was from Saturday, but it was being reported as though it was happening now, which is bad, which doesn't bode well. I mean, there's every chance that, I mean, look, Thiago's gone for a scan and they come back and said it's fine. You know, there's every chance that he actually does start in midweek, because if it's fine, it's fine. It's just a knock and you can get on with it. Matip might just as well be in that situation himself, but it's tough because you, I mean, in fact, Chris, you saw it around the Virgil van Dijk stuff. Fear-mongering's the word. There is a little gnawing doubt at the back of everyone's mind that somehow everything's going to come catastrophically undone without Van Dijk. So every little bit of potential bad news all feels like a big weight that's being lifted. And it's weight that you're resistant to when Liverpool are playing really well and winning games of football. If we'd won it in the derby, I think we'd be loads less arsed about all of this. But at the minute, everyone, we're all looking for signs, portents of doom.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think this goes back to the transfer window, doesn't it? Because the one big thing that everybody agreed on is we needed a fourth defender and we didn't get a fourth defender. And now it's like, look, I told you. Yeah. I told you this is going to happen. But the thing is, we've not played the season out. And you know, so you can't actually, you're not proved right until whatever happens. Because Klopp could still be proved right that he didn't, even with an injury to Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Now, I maybe would disagree with that. I do think it's going to be a horrendous loss for Liverpool Football Club. I think there's going to need to be something very creative to do to keep us on top of the table, or get us to the top of the table and win the league again.
Yeah.
But it looks like we're repeating a mistake that Manchester City made. Although their player completely different, their player retired, whereas ours has been injured, unfortunately. But, you know, I think it's a big blow to Liverpool in both the Champions League and the Premier League. Yeah. No one's denying that, and it's how we either bounce back in January and sign someone, or someone's got to step up and play to a level that they haven't previously played to at a consistent basis that they haven't previously done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't want to do too much, but we're going to do a deep dive on that on the podcast tomorrow. But we've had a few super chats and whatever you come in. First and foremost, Nino, welcome to Club Captain. You get access to the Final Word Show, which we've just recorded, which is on the YouTube channel, exclusive on YouTube to members at Club Captain. or club legend here, so you can get involved with that afterwards if you want, mate. Easy. Neil's also said the super chat in saying, greetings from the Philippines. Greetings. Absolutely love the channel. Keep up the good work and have a walk along. Thank you so much.
Greetings from tier three.
And Gad Kul Kami says, what's the status on Matip and Alisson? If you guys have any info. We don't have any inside info, but as I say, the Alisson is apparently back in training. He's back in like diving training and stuff. And they're saying, Andy Ross, that there's been no ill effects at the moment. He's not showing signs.
Is he diving both ways or just one way?
Ooh, he's not. Joe Hart, I would imagine both.
It was described as diving and falling, and he's doing his second session and showing no signs, you just said, of that shoulder injury. So to me, that's really encouraging. I think Klopp said something in his pre-match press conference at the weekend as well, which kind of said, you know, he's ahead of where he should be. So that eases stuff for me because, you know, we've all got concerns over the goalkeeper.
It's a shame he wasn't really diving and falling on international duty, because Neymar would have been in that session, wouldn't he? And he's brilliant at all that stuff.
Yeah. Pickford was in the diving and lunging session.
All the talk is that Alisson will be back for Man City, which would be an amazing boost, all things considered. Football Slugs might start to go for me and sneak over from Australia to do a number on Pickford, still fuming, blue shite. Mate, it's one of them things. You kind of just got to shrug it off, unfortunately, at this point. And welcome John Conway, who's joined as club captain as well on the YouTube memberships. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, you guys get access to custom emotes to use in live streams just like this one. And as I say, you get that bonus show. It's the Monday Final Word show, the show that covers the weekend game. Let's talk about a couple more players and a couple more things again for this game. Milner and Genie will be ready for this game. I mean, is there a temptation there with just a doubt? Even if Thiago has a slight doubt, you might as well, because just there's nothing wrong with putting Genie Wijnaldum straight back into the team, really.
No, there isn't. And listen, how long have we been live for?
Don't know.
Roughly? 29 minutes before I mentioned the 4-2-3-1 formation. I really think it's a good option for us now. If it's something the Klopp was maybe pointing towards anyway, you know, a little bit extra protection for your centre-halves with Virgil van Dijk back, and a way to maybe get Jota in and maybe find a little bit of form for Bobby Firmino if you skew his position slightly, something like that. Also gives you that little bit of, if you're taking Fabinho out of the midfield rotation, as it were, for a serious number of games, which he could well be, I don't know yet, then having those just two midfielder spots, as it were, you know, a Henderson Wijnaldum or a Thiago Henderson, or throw James Milner in there, whatever, when everybody's fit, of course. I think that could work really, really well for Liverpool, and I wonder whether we might actually see something like that against Ajax.
Yeah, Kate are clear for this one, isn't he?
No, I don't know if any. I don't know any more on the Kate stuff. The club haven't been.
They didn't actually say he tested positive, did they?
Yeah. No, it was local. Local news for Naby while he was away. He said he tested positive. Then apparently he tested negative on the second one. But he's not. Like, it was, Naby won't be ready for this game, was Klopp's line in the build-up to the derby. So they have been very cloak and dagger about all this. So no one really knows whether Naby's been...
Same with Shaqiri, then.
Well, yeah, well, Shaqiri should be... You know, who knows? Well, this is another one. Like, Divock Origi doesn't make the bench at the weekend. I can't see a world where he... I mean, unless you can have more subs in the chat. I don't know. I can't see... It's mad. Shaqiri and Origi are both there. They should probably be in rotation in some way, shape, or form for this game, but I can't.
I don't actually see that they're just not good enough to be in our sub bench now. Yeah. And that's what happens when Minamino and Jota have come in.
Yeah. The only other thing interesting in terms of the bench is that whether you put Reece Williams or Kometio or Vandenberg on the bench just to get them in the matchday squad, because there's a chance now.
He's tended to do stuff like that as well during the Champions League, hasn't he? Take them on the trip, get them used to it without them actually having to play and stuff. That wouldn't surprise me. That's a good shout, Dan.
Would you do anything mad here, Ross? You know, like, we talked a little bit about Firmino on the Final Word show. He obviously gets subbed, which leads you to believe that's almost nailed on that he starts this game, of course. But, you know, we saw Mane move to centre forward, Jota come on the left, which I think was unusual. I think Salah would have been most people's guess if they saw that happening. We actually thought if Minamino would have been the first choice sub for Bobby Firmino, so there's there's that as a possibility as well.
I think there's a temptation to give him a rest. You know, he's played international football, come back in, played the Merseyside derby, but he's also short on confidence. I think if you're not changing the centre-back pairing and your midfield, I think another change is one too many to maintain fluidity and stuff in that sense. So, you know, if Van Dijk was fit and Thiago was fit, you know, I think there's a case where, you know, you could go really strong and you could put Jota in there or Minamino in there and you still got a strong 11.
Yeah.
But it's a bit, I think, too many changes is too much against a decent side.
Slightly outside Shelton, this and the Minamino stuff, but he's played Champions League footy. You know, it's not like he's playing a Premier League game here where you're talking about being up to the speed or whatever. He has experience at this level of football, and maybe that might be a decent opportunity, because I'm looking at it otherwise. Would saying Bobby Firmino's having a little bit of fatigue issues or whatever, having travelled with Brazil, does he play both games this week? And let's just say, he might well do, Chris, because he plays most games when he's available.
But he plays both games, he's playing three games in a week, isn't he?
Well, yeah, you know, but this is the thing, and that's the kind of point, is that if you let's work on that notion that Bobby isn't going to play two games. Are you resting him here, or are you resting him Sheffield United? And if you are, what are you doing?
Oh, mate, I think it's going to be quite a heavily rotated side in this game. I think some of it's going to be enforced and some of it's not. It wouldn't surprise me to see both Minamino and Jota in this game, to be honest with you, because it's such a condensed 4 weeks, as it were, with so many games, that to get the best out of the squad, the rotation, you don't wait until everyone's crocked to then start resting and rotating.
Yeah.
You're planning in advance for it. So for me, it's about, I don't know whether Bobby starts here or there, but as you was kind of talking to in the first part of the show, Paul, it's about making sure you can get a good side for every game rather than a second string and a first string.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the players are going to be, but in one of these games, I think Jota starts, I think Minamino starts, and I think Wijnaldum starts, and I think Milner starts in one of these games. And yeah, then it's question marks over, I don't think the fullbacks have need to be rested and rotated just yet, but there's always an option in game three or four of this run that Nico maybe comes in or Kostas Tsimikas. Well,
we're lucky in so much as, I mean, there's another one, no one really knows where he's at with Tsimikas at the moment. Klopp completely forgot he existed, and I therefore did when he was asked who was fit for the derby. That Salah and Mane didn't travel for internationals, so it's not like they've played the extra footy, so they're probably not as in need of it. But we did see sort of, and it was hampered, I think, by Shaqiri just not being available last season particularly, is someone will play 60 and someone will play 30, and then they'll flip. So maybe Mane plays 60, Jota plays 30, but then Jota plays 60, Mane plays 30 at the weekend or whatever. Just that's how we refresh, rest and rotate. It's really, really interesting to see. The thing you tend to find, though, with Mane and Salah, they want to play the Champions League. They want to play the Champions League. It's very difficult to turn around and tell your best players that you're not playing on that stage. I have a sneaky suspicion. Well, as we've seen times in the past where Mane starts on the bench against Bournemouth or whatever. So, yeah, we don't know, but we'll know a little bit more, I guess, because Ross, Minamino, yes, we've had him for half a season, but he's still being blooded, and obviously Jota's very new. We don't know whether these lads are good enough to be considered to just start games of football for us in rotation.
Yeah, particularly with Mane and Salah, who on the face of it are both in good form. You know, they both get a goal at the weekend at Aston Villa. You know, Mane didn't play that one, but Salah was still really good. They're going to want to continue that as well. You know, if you drop them, you think, well, I think they understand the rotation, but they'll think, well, what have I done to deserve to be dropped for this game? They want to play every game, but I know they have to manage them in terms of fitness and fatigue and stuff like that. But, you know, like you just said it then, they're going to be hungry to play this game, regardless whether there's fans or not. It's still the world's biggest stage in football for me, and they want to be part of that.
Yeah. Paul Joyce has just tweeted, actually, while we've been live, saying Liverpool's Joel Matip underwent a scan on Saturday. No major issue was detected. Klopp must assess whether to start a defender against Ajax in the Champions League on Wednesday. So, yeah, more info on that as and when we know it. But that's positive, at least. I think we can all breathe a little sigh of relief on that.
I mean, I'd rather say no issue than not a major issue would have been better.
Yeah, but I mean, true enough. But in the grand scheme of things, you send three players for scans. One of them has a major issue. He's out for the season by comparison. Everything else.
It's rather a bit massive. Yeah,
that's true, though, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but on the grand scheme of things, anything that falls beneath the bar of out for a year is probably feeling like a major win at this point in time. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to do a little bit, as I say, on the podcast tomorrow. We'll be doing the podcast live from 10:30 or 11 tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. You just follow it on the YouTube channel if you want to. We're going to discuss Liverpool's options and how they cope in the absence of Virgil van Dijk. So yeah, obviously love to see us tune in for that one. Let's have a score prediction before we wrap up then, Chris Pager.
3-1 Liverpool.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going 2-1, but with a goal ruled off for offside. It's not offside for Liverpool.
Okay, cool. 3-0 Liverpool. Be fucking hilarious. We start Billy Cometio and everyone goes, what? Baptism of fire comes in, Amsterdam Arena, and all these issues are just not issues. It probably won't be that. It's probably going to be absolutely fucking ring-clenching from minute one to minute 90 with Adrian in nets and whatever we're doing.
Come and find out with us on the watch along, though.
Exactly. We're going to be here. We're going to be here an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff for the team news reveal, and then we are doing the commentary from 15 minutes before kickoff live on the channel. That'll be on Wednesday. We've got the podcast live before then. We have got loads of additional content if you want. If you're a YouTube member at tier 2
member
club captain or club legend, you get this week's final word show, which was great, looking back at the Merseyside derby and all the massive talking points around that. And as I said, there's a 3-part Peter Moore special. First two parts of that are up on the website on theredmentv.com. There is a 3-part documentary series on last season, Liverpool winning number 19. There is a 2-episode documentary series on 5 years of Jurgen Klopp. There's loads of amazing stuff. Perfect time to go and subscribe, and a whole host of extra bonus additional stuff that you get when you do that as well. Gentlemen, thank you. The Champions League looms. We'll be there to cover it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting everything we do. We love you guys, and we'll see you all soon. Ta-da. Everyone, mates here. I want to tell you all about the fantastic set of perks and benefits we have got for you guys when you sign up to be a member here on YouTube. There are 3 tiers available. You've got first teamer, you've got club captain, and you've got club legend, that each come with their own, as I say, perks and benefits. First and foremost, of course, you've got access to custom emotes, emojis that you can use within any one of our live streams, of which there will be plenty this season. You also get 10% off Redmen TV merch from our merchandise store, which will be linked below. Also, if you go for tier 2, this is where things start to get really interesting. You get access to an additional 60-minute show each and every week throughout the season. That is the Final Word Show. 60 minutes looking back on Liverpool's weekend game, usually only available on theredmentv.com. That is there for people who sign up at club captain level and for those at club legend level as well. In addition to the aforementioned perks, aforementioned the most, and that wonderful Final Word Show, you also get a 20% discount code off Redmen TV merch on our merch store as well. And of course, you get to support everything we're doing on the channel as well. So if you love all the free content we've given you down the years, and you want a little bit more, and you want to have a little bit more extra access, and you want loyalty badges as well, we have got you covered with a YouTube membership. Sign up now. Get more content, get emotes, get badges, and support the channel. Nice one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.